Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today we start a new chapter, Babu Ta'jili Qada'i Ad-Dayni 'anil Mayyit wal Mubadarati ila Tajhizihi illa ay yamuta fujaa'atan fayutraku hatta yutaqayyana mawtuhu. The chapter on hastening to fulfill the debts of the deceased and hastening in his burial arrangements, unless he passed away suddenly, in which case it should be left until his death is confirmed. What is meant by this last part, unless he passes away suddenly? You get a situation where a person is just found dead suddenly. Nobody knows how he passed away. So there in Islam also, it is nice to try and do a little bit of investigation to find out how he passed, in case he was murdered. Now we don't want to let murderers just roam free, like how we find in our countries, murderers and rapists and all walking free. Islam would like that this cause of this person's death also be identified. So therefore, if there's a little bit of a delay before that type of person is buried, then there's no harm, because we don't know how he passed away. So just to make a little bit of inquiries, find out, investigations, there can be some type of a delay. But otherwise, the general rule is that we should hasten with the burial arrangements, and we should hasten as far as the janaza salah, dafan is concerned, and kafan is concerned. So today's hadith, there are two hadiths under this chapter, we'll do both. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال نفس المؤمن معلقة بدينه حتى يقضى عنه. حضرت أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said the soul of a believer is left suspended because of his debts until they are paid on his behalf. So his soul is left suspended. He had debts, he hasn't paid it. Until some arrangement is made for this person's debt to be paid, his soul is left suspended. Allama Iraqi rahmatullahi alayhi explains that this means that it's a result, the result is left pending, and no decision of success or destruction is passed until it is seen whether his debts are settled or not. Those after him, whether they made arrangements to settle his debts or not, is waited for that period before this person's decision is made. What we learn from here is how important it is to settle debts. Firstly, a Muslim should not get into debts. Muslim doesn't get into debts deliberately. And then if a person has to get into debts because of situation, he should make arrangements to pay it off ASAP, quickly. So there isn't such a thing in Islam as a dream house. I don't have the money, and now there's a dream house, and I must go to the bank and I must borrow money. Nowadays banks, even in the name of Islam, they advertise that you dream it and we'll finance it. But look at the spirit of Islam. A person doesn't get into debts at all. That even after he passes away and he's in debts, he's left suspended until those debts are, his outcome is left suspended until those debts are paid. So it shows us how serious debts is. So if anybody tells us they're marketing debts in the name of Islam and you dream it and we'll finance it, this is very, very far away from Islam. It actually has nothing to do with the spirit of Islam. If we don't have the money, we don't buy it, as simple as that. A person will rent, a person will use other means, but he won't unnecessarily put himself into a situation where he has to get into interest, he has to borrow from the banks and repay more than he has borrowed. And especially if it is something like a dream home and a dream car, those dreams we should leave for akhirat, for jannat. Here we just live within our means, especially if a person doesn't have the funds. The other thing we learn is that in when there is an estate, person passes away, there is an estate, the first thing we do from that estate, the first thing we pay off from the estate is the burial expenses. The expenses that are incurred because of the person being buried, those people in charge of the janaza, qabristan, etc., they charge a fee for the burial expenses. So the first thing to be paid is the burial expenses. The next thing to be paid from a person's estate, before anything else can be deducted, is debts. If he's got any debts, these debts are paid off. Here again we learn how important it is to pay debts. Then only after that is whatever wasiyat a person made, whatever bequest he made. And then only the heirs will now get paid after these first three items are deducted from his estate. Anyway, moving on. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave severe warnings regarding debts and non-payments of debts, especially when one has the means of doing so. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who incurs a debt and has no intention of repaying it will pay for it with his good deeds on the day of Qiyamah. On that day, that good deeds will be the most precious commodity we can have. There's no chance of getting a transfer into our account. There's no chance of going and earning more. There's no chance of inheriting more. What we got is what we got on that day. That will be the most precious thing that we can have on the day of Qiyamah. And how will a person start paying for his debts on that day? He'll start paying with this currency of good deeds, which he's got so limited. He'll have to use that. Yet the rate of this thing will be so high. The rate of the good deeds, the value of it will be so high, but he will have to take that and pay for debts. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam explains further. He says that a person who takes a loan with the intention of not paying it back and passes away will rise as a thief in the presence of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Even the noble death of martyrdom, a person becoming a shaheed, does not absolve one of his debts. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, initially, the early days, he would not perform the janazah salah of a person who passed away with debts. He would let someone else perform this person's janazah, showing us that debts is something very serious. Obviously, where a person doesn't need to get into debt. You'll get some people just for a holiday trip, just for an expensive car or an expensive house, or to live a high lifestyle, they're getting into debts. This is something that is serious. Where a person genuinely needs to get into a debt for a genuine reason, for example, he needs just basics for his family, he needs basics for his business, and then he borrows some money with the intention of repaying, then Shariat allows for that. But we're talking here about living beyond a person's means, unnecessarily. An Hussein ibn Wahwah radiyallahu anhu anna Talhah ibn al-Bara' ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu marida fa'atahu an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wasallam ya'uduhu faqal inni la ura Talhah illa qad hadatha fihi al-maut fa'adhinuni bihi wa'ajjilu bihi fa'innahu la yanbaghi li jifati muslimin an tuhbasa bayna dhahrani ahlihi rawahu Abu Dawud. Hazrat Hussein ibn Wahwah radiyallahu anhu narrates that Talha ibn al-Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu fell ill. So Hazrat Talha radiyallahu anhu, he fell ill, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to visit him. First thing we learn is someone is ill and we get the opportunity to visit them, we should visit them. This was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Hazrat Talha radiyallahu anhu was not well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to visit him. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I'm not telling Hazrat Talha radiyallahu anhu, I'm telling the other people around, that I think that the time of Hazrat Talha radiyallahu anhu's demise is near. So you should inform me and hasten with it, because it's not appropriate for the corpse, for the janazah of a Muslim, to be held back amongst his family members. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that it's not appropriate for the corpse of a Muslim to be held back amongst his family people. So therefore, when this Hazrat Talha radiallahu anhu passes away, inform me and hasten with his burial, because it's not right for keeping that body there. Sometimes that body is just left there hours upon end in the family home, and people are all around and they're reading and reading for hours. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying it's not right for this to take place. If there's a specific need, for example, if there's somebody that is coming and now out of respect for that person may be very close, etc., then to delay it is okay. It's not the preferable thing. Is not the better thing, but yet Shariat will allow for that. Somebody is making that effort and they just, for example, they're coming all the way from Johannesburg and they're just by Pinetown and there is a puncture. You say, please, it's a close family member, just wait for a little while, give it another hour. And Shariat will allow for that. Allow for that. But the best thing to do as far as the janazah is concerned is try and have it as quick as possible. Therefore you find the pious, they would make this wasiyat. They don't even wait for my family member to come from this town or that town. Bury me wherever I am as quick as possible. This is the best. So this is what we should be striving for. But however, if some people do delay it, then it's not right for us now to criticize them or tell them anything. Because Shariat does allow, this is a time of emotion, and it's a time when people's emotions are very, very high. So therefore, it does allow sometimes to delay it a little, but there is that laxity, there is that leeway. So if they went that route, we should always hope that we take the best route and have it quickly. But if some people went that route, then we should accommodate, allow for it, and don't fight with them and criticize them. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.